Turning your Bibles this morning to the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. The 8th chapter of Matthew will begin with the first verse. When he was come down from the mountain, that is from the mountain in which he delivered the Sermon on the Mount, great multitudes followed him. This begins a new section in the Gospel of Matthew, and in chapters 8 and 9, he records 15 brief accounts of incidents in the life of Jesus. And as you read the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, unlike Mark, for instance, it is not always chronologically following, because he does not write a straight narrative through. He writes more or less chronological, listing, of course, Jesus' birth at first and his crucifixion last. But he lists his events topically. First, we saw the advent of the king, born in Bethlehem, taken to Egypt, returned to Nazareth. Then we saw the presentation of the king at his baptism, which was, of course, about 30 years later, and his trial in the wilderness. Then we saw in the 4th chapter that Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And in there's a brief account of his ministry, and beginning chapters 5, 6, and 7, he gives us the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached. And in that rather full account of Jesus' sermon, and this was the message that Jesus preached: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king was present. And repent and believe the gospel. So there's a rather full account of the gospel of the kingdom in that Sermon on the Mount. And now, in chapters 8 and 9, Matthew gives us an account of Jesus' ministry in his great Galilean campaign. Now, these incidents are very short. They are strung together to give us a word picture of Jesus preaching in Galilee, and they are not necessarily in chronological order, as a reading of the other Gospels will show. Evidently, though, this first account that he gives here did follow immediately upon his concluding his Sermon on the Mount. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his, that's a rather direct approach, but it is a direct expression of faith as well. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See, thou tell no man, but go thy way, and show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Leprosy was a great plague in the ancient world, but it wasn't necessarily what we call Hansen's disease that we call leprosy. That may have been included, but more likely it was other forms of skin disorders, even elephantiasis, and including Hansen's disease, but it also included eczema and dermatitis of various kinds, and any skin disease was called leprosy in that day. And in a day when their medical knowledge was so limited, any contagious disease was rampant. And so to be a leper was to be ostracized from society. But some of these diseases, such as, for instance, psoriasis or eczema, could be, you could recover from them, they could be cured. But Jesus here, by his power, cleansed this man of whatever disease he had. But he said, go and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded. Nowhere did Jesus ever teach or do a violation of the law of Moses. And Moses was very particular in this case. So let us turn to the 14th chapter of the book of Leviticus and read what Moses said about leprosy and its cure. In Leviticus chapter 14, beginning with verse 1, we read, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. And he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look and behold, and if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood," that two birds in the Hebrews, two little birds. And it's usually sparrows, but pigeons would suffice. Clean, and cedar wood and scarlet hyssop. And it has always amazed to me that birds, especially these kinds of birds, were considered clean by the law. Before, because if there ever was a filthy animal, it is a bird. And it's only because they roam free that they aren't as filthy as they might be. But anyway, according to the law, these certain types of birds were free for sacrifice. "And the priest shall command one of the birds to be killed in an earthen vessel over running water." That is, take running water into a vessel and kill the bird and drop his blood into the water. "As for the living bird, he shall take it and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times and shall pronounce him clean, and he shall let the living bird loose in the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean." And after that, shaving it off, the priest could tell whether all of his flesh were actually cured. "And after he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be in the seventh day that he shall shave all of his hair off his head," that is the regrowth, "and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes also, and he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take two he lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for meal offering, and mingle with oil, and one log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and later at the temple. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer it for a trespass offering, and log of oil, and wave before the wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place, for the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering It is most holy, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour into the palm of his own hand, and the priest shall dip his right finger into the oil and with his left hand, and shall sprinkle with the oil his finger seven times before the Lord, and the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, and put on the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of all the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make atonement for him. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make the atonement for him to be cleansed from his uncleanness. After that word he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meal offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make atonement for him that is to be clean. Now that is quite a ritual. And it is also very expensive to have these three animals and to offer as one sacrifice. And it is quite significant that one of them is a trespass offering, one is a sin offering, and one is a burnt offering. And this is how we come to the conclusion that leprosy is a type of sin, because they had to offer sin offerings for the leprosy, and the trespass offering was for specific sins that might have been committed, and the burnt offering was an offering of consecration to the Lord for having cleansed him. Now, there are many other lessons that we can learn from this, but that is for another time. But this is the ritual that Jesus told this man to go through. And then there is a provision in the following verse. And if he be poor, he could substitute a specified birds for the animal offering. So there was made provision for someone who could not afford that great offering. But they are all very typical. But here it was the ritual of the law that Jesus told this man to comply to, because this was still the time under the law of Moses. And it was under the law of Moses until Jesus' crucifixion. So this was the first miracle that Jesus performed after his Sermon on the Mount, as these great crowds followed him. And of course there were scribes and Pharisees in these crowds trying to trip him up, as we see in other Gospels. And then beginning in the fifth verse, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. A centurion was a Roman legionnaire. He may have been a Roman, or he may have been a Greek, or he may have been a Syrian, but he was in the Roman legion. And he was a commander or a captain over 100 Roman soldiers. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, and grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. and his servant was healed the selfsame hour. So this servant was not a Jew. I mean, the centurion was not a Jew. But he had come to have faith in the Jewish religion, as did many Gentiles who came in contact with the Jews, both in Palestine, as the conquerors of Palestine, and the Jews that were scattered throughout the Roman world. At this time, the old pagan religion was beginning to die out. And there were many people who had come to the conclusion that the pagan gods were only figments of the imagination. Now, there is this to be considered for natural revelation. Natural revelation and human philosophy can lead people away from idols, but they are insufficient to lead them to God. These people were giving up much of the old pagan religion, but they were finding in Judaism the message of the true God, something that was real. And this Roman legionnaire was one of them. Having been stationed in the Holy Land, wherever he was from, he saw something in Judaism that attracted him, and especially in this Jew who was preaching the kingdom of heaven and healing various people. He recognized in him a man of authority. Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes questioned his authority, and on one occasion especially they questioned his authority, as you remember. But this man recognized his authority. He recognized authority when he saw it, for he himself was a man of authority. And his servant, his slave, this is in the Greek word, is a slave. He was homesick of the palsy. Palsy means paralysis. And his servant was suffering from some kind of paralysis, whether brought on by a disease or whether it was what we would call, say, cerebral palsy or some other form of paralysis. But he was a victim of some sort of paralysis. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. That's the only time that I remember that Jesus offered to go to someone's house and heal them. Others asked him, and he responded. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. In the first place, he was not a Jew. You remember when the Syrophoenician woman addressed him as son of David, he ignored her because she wasn't a Jew. And she was coming as a Jew. But when she called him Lord, he responded to her. Well, this man came to him in a very humble manner, recognizing he was not a Jew, recognizing that here was someone of a greater authority than his, and he was accepted a humble position. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now other people asked him to come and heal them or to touch them, and the woman who was cured of her illness touched the hem of his garment. Her faith was in the touch, but this man's faith was in the word of Jesus, the word of authority that he recognized in Jesus. If he had authority over soldiers, he recognized from what he had seen, maybe this healing of this person in the beginning of the chapter here, this leper, that he had authority from heaven, authority over illness. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, this, and he doeth it. Then Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, many shall come from the east and the west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. There is a sense in which this will be fulfilled in the future, but there is a sense right now in which we are those who have so benefited to be included in the family of God with all of the faithful of the old covenant, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the children of the kingdom, that is the Jews, who would not believe, shall be cast out into outer darkness, and they've been wandering there ever since. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, but thankfully some of them have found the Savior and come in to the gospel also. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed the self same hour. The point that Matthew is making here, it was not the Jesus touching the leper. It was not the lady who touched the hem of his garment, the touch. It was not the clay that Jesus put on the man's blind man's eye that healed him. It was the faith they had in him that healed him. And as we read in the epistles, it is Christ who inspires faith in us. Those who respond to him, he inspires faith in them. As we read the other night, Paul wrote to the Galatians, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And when Jesus was come unto Peter's house, here we learn that the supposed first pope was married. We don't read if he had any children, though. We read that he had a house here in on the shore of the Lake of Galilee. Also, Andrew had a home here. And Jesus, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand. This was his touch. But again, it was faith that was the healing power. And the fever left her, and she rose and ministered unto them. Now that was an instantaneous healing. When even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. This fulfills one of the phrases in the Psalms. He sent his word and healed them. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, Isaiah wrote that in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. You remember that beloved chapter of the suffering Christ? And he wrote that concerning the death of Christ. Himself took our infirmities upon him on the cross. He wrote that concerning the cross. So this shows here that this was a result of the prediction of the coming cross. So every benefit to mankind before the cross or since then is because of the cross, because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Every benefit of God to humanity is because of Calvary. Then in anticipation, now in retrospect, but all in faith. And then we've already read four of those instances: the leper, the centurion servant, and Peter's mother-in-law, and now those possessed with devils. And now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. That is, he was in Peter's home on the north shore of the Lake of Galilee, and now by boat they're going to the other side. And a certain scribe, the scribes were the learned Jews. They were the ones who studied the Torah daily. They were the ones who were learned in the prophets. They were the ones who possessed the scriptures and knew them. And they knew, like many Jewish rabbis today, they could recite it in Hebrew. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. He must have been what we might call a seeker. He recognized something in Jesus that he wanted to participate in. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another disciple of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. Now, here we see what the true essence of being a follower of Jesus. It is not for anything that we can get out of it. Jesus said, I have not where to lay my head. The foxes have holes, the birds have nests. I have nothing to offer you, that is, of this life. In other places, he said, don't worry about this life. God takes care of his children in this life. But the idea of to accept Christ for benefits is contrary to the meaning of the gospel invitation. I had a friend in New Mexico who would tithe to the church religiously every month. He didn't come to church every meeting, but he saw that his money got there every month. He said he was afraid not to tithe, afraid of what would happen to him or what a financial reverse he might suffer. That is contrary to the gospel message. We don't give to get. We don't accept Jesus for what he can give us other than himself. And that was what Jesus was trying to impress here. He was speaking as was rabbinic custom in hyperbole, speaking in extreme terms to emphasize that which he wanted to impress upon him. Jesus is not saying don't go to funerals, don't take care of your dead. It's a matter of priorities. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, and he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, if you were in a ship like that, under circumstances like that, would your faith be great or small? I'm afraid mine would be small. But again, little faith can become great faith. And that was the Jesus lesson here, to increase their faith in him. And can you imagine Jesus sleeping under these circumstances? Imagine how weary he must have been to be able to sleep under those circumstances. But he was showing them here that he was not only the Lord of demons, not only was he the Lord of illness and sickness, he was also the Lord of all nature. And he was showing them what manner of man he was. So in these very brief vignettes of events in Jesus' life, he was showing them who he is. And it must have been a wonderful experience for them. Peter recounted later his reminiscences of Jesus, and we were with him in the holy mountain. And John said, and we beheld his glory. But what a blessing it is to us that in our lives, in our time, we can come to know Jesus through the events of our lives, both good and ill. So everything that happens to us is an opportunity to come to a greater knowledge of him and to have a stronger faith in him.